Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people. Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people.
Man, first of all, let me just say thank you so much for being here on this very, very special, right, Resurrection Sunday. Amen? I got some good news for you. The tomb is empty. All right? Hey, can we get excited about that? I was joking a couple weeks. If you have your Bible, by the way, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, and we're just going to look at a little passage of Scripture here, the resurrection story. But I was commenting last week and how everybody gets so excited about the NCAA basketball tournament. We got any basketball fans out here been watching that? Oh, only a few. Okay, I see you. I feel like those games are on 24/7, you know, right when they get started and everything. And I was remarking last week how I woke up in the middle of a sleep. I had gone to bed early last week. And remember, I was telling you that I was awakened by the sound of mass clapping, mass shouting. And I realized that it was the TV, and my wife and the Queen Mother were watching the NCAA basketball tournament, right? And I thought, man, how excited these people were for basketball. We ought to be just excited about Jesus. Amen? Somebody excited about the fact that the tomb is empty today? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Man, it is a blessing. You know, I say this at Christmas. And we ought to say it at Easter more than Christmas. I mean, it's great for Jesus to be born of a virgin, but if he didn't die, if he wasn't buried, and if he didn't rise again, then we would all be men and women, as Mark so aptly put in his narration. We'd be miserable today, right? And so we have a wonderful Savior. Listen, Jesus, go out to someone today and tell them Jesus is still the reason for the season. Amen? And you can use that at Easter as well. And look with me here in the passage of Scripture. You know, I want us to see this story because Jesus is the reason for the season. In fact, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. And do you know that John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16? It says, hereby perceive we, look at that that word, perceive we, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That word, perceive, it literally comes from the Greek word, ginosko. And notice what it means. It's really good, right? Hereby we perceive we, the love of God. It means to know, to see, or be aware of. I like the last part. To be sure. You can be sure today that God loves you. You want to know how? Because the Bible says that he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for you. So guess what? We ought to get excited about Easter. Amen? Somebody get excited about Easter today. Oh, listen. We can know. You and I, we can know, we can see, and we can be sure of the fact that God loves us. Yes, Jesus, dying is a great thing. But man, without his resurrection, we're in trouble. That's what brings triumph out of tragedy. The tomb is empty. And so look with me very quickly, Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse number 1. And the Bible tells us that in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The Bible says his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers or the guards, the Roman centurions, the guards, it says they did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus. I know what y'all are coming for. I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. But look at verse number 6. It says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Goes on, the angel says, come and see. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And the Bible says in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. He said, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. And there they shall see me. Let's just pray real quick. God, we thank you for the message of the day. We thank you for the fact that the tomb is empty. God, I pray just for a few moments of time that you would use your word and your spirit to move in this place and to speak to hearts and lives who are in this room and those who may be watching online today. God, we pray that the resurrection story would hit home with each and every person that is tuning in today. And Lord, by your power and by your grace and your mercy, that people might trust Christ as their Lord and Savior today. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, because you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I give you the praise in advance for what you will do. For it's in Jesus' precious name we all said and pray. Amen and amen. Well, notice with me, because right here, smack dab, right in the middle of this resurrection story, we find, really, to be honest, we find the message and also the invitation of God. It's crystal clear. And the first thing is, if you're a note taker, listen, the message is really clear. It's come and see. You remember the ladies are coming. Look at verse number 6. Excuse me. The Bible says that as they approach the tomb, they're coming to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. Notice the angel proclaims, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. And then he says these words, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Do you know that Mark's gospel puts it another way? So Matthew says, come and see. Mark's gospel in Mark 16 and verse number 6, the Bible says, he is risen, he is not here. Watch what he says. Behold. He says, behold the place where they laid him. In other words, Mark is saying the same thing. He's like, come and see. Come and see where Jesus was laid, because I got some good news for you. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Oh, listen, in both instances, the ladies are met. Watch this. The ladies are coming out, and they're met with the incredible reality that Jesus is actually who he said he was. Amen? He had said that he would rise again. He had told them about this. But in the moment, they had forgotten that. They had come to anoint his body with spices. And so when they come, the angel is literally saying, hey, I got news for you. He's gone. He rose up just like he told you he was going to rise up. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what the spices are for. But he doesn't have need of spices because he's no longer in the grave. That's good news for you and me today. Oh, listen, the invitation to come is laced, watch this, it's laced all throughout God's word. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse number 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen, turn with me to Isaiah 55, because I want you to see something. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 55, in the precious word of God, and I'll flip over there with you, Isaiah, and I'll give you the page number here in just a second. I like to do that. It's page 485. 485. If that's a, yeah, someone's checking. No, it's not 485 in my Bible. Well, in my Bible, it's 485. All right? In Isaiah chapter 55, notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 1. Here's this message of come. It's all throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. In Isaiah 55, the Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and price. Wherefore do you spend money, the Bible says, for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Notice what Isaiah says. It says, hearken diligently unto me, the Lord says, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse number 3, incline your ear and come unto me. The Word of God and the Spirit of God is telling all of us today, incline your ear to me. Incline your heart to me. Come unto me, right? Come unto me and listen to what I have to say. If you're there, drop down to verse number 6, because verse number 6 continues. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. That word return, that phrase there means let him turn back. Let him come again. Notice it says, let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, the message of Jesus Christ has always, 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 could I say it 100 more times? It's always been to come. It's always been to come and see. In Matthew's gospel, you think about this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28 and 29. Jesus said these words. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, when he says, take my yoke upon you, right there in that verse, he's saying, believe in me. You know, the world wants you to believe in a lot of other things. Jesus says, hey, time out. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. He says, listen, take my yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, believe in me. This is what he is saying. Believe in me. And he says, learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you, he says, you shall find rest unto your souls. And it's a consistent message all through the gospel. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, Jesus again speaking, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And notice what he said, and follow me. Think about John chapter 1. You remember John the baptizer, the forerunner of Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. And you can look at it with me if you want over in John chapter 1. John declares, he sees Jesus so far off and he declares, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And at that time, there were a couple of disciples hanging out with John the Baptist. And we know that one of them is Andrew, most likely. The other one is John, who writes this gospel through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so when they see Jesus, they sincerely ask Jesus. They ask him, they say, where do you live? Where dwellest thee? Where do you dwell, right? And so they ask him that. You can see that in verse number 39. And they say, where do you dwell? And that's verse 38. But in 39, Jesus answers and he says, come and see. Again, the message is come and see. When the women went to the tomb, the message was come and see. In the Old Testament, it was come and see. In the New Testament, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And listen, it's always come and see. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, today is the day to come and see Jesus. Amen? He says, come and see. But in that same message, what's interesting to me is that Jesus' message to come and see actually became, watch this, it actually became the message amongst his own followers. Literally, people's lives are being changed. These disciples are following Christ. And now they begin to share the message, come and see. You say, what are you talking about? Well, just in a couple verses later, if you look down in John chapter 1, in verse number 45, in 46, the Bible says, Philip, he then finds Nathanael and says unto him, he says, we have found him. He says, we found him in whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And notice Nathanael. Nathanael says back to him, he says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's like, bro, are you telling me this guy is from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you see what Philip responds? He says, come and see. He says, come and see. You say, yes, what's the message? The message is come and see. If you don't know Jesus today, don't walk out of this place. Don't turn off the TV. Don't move without Jesus, because the message has always been, come and see that the tomb is empty. He is risen just as he said. You think about Jesus, right? He was always doing what people didn't expect him to do. He's talking in John chapter 4. You remember that passage? He's talking in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. By the way, that was very strange for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman in that day and age. And so he's having this conversation with the woman at the well. His disciples are over in town. They're getting some victuals. They're trying to get lunch. And Jesus is by himself, and the woman at the well is there. And you know the story. And Jesus tells her, he says, listen, if you'd asked me for a drink, he says, I've got water that you'll drink and you'll never thirst again. But here's what's interesting. In John chapter 4, in verse number 29, this woman becomes an immediate witness for Jesus Christ. Notice what her message is. Hello? This is a woman who has a, let's just say it politely, a sketchy past. But Jesus forgave her. Jesus said, listen, I got news for you. It's not about your past. It's about me. It's about your present and your future. Listen, if you're here today and you've got a sketchy past, it's okay because Jesus forgives. Amen? Listen, I got a sketchy past too. We all got sketchy pasts. And Jesus says, listen, come and see. The tomb is empty. But notice what the woman says. She becomes an immediate missionary, an immediate witness, and she says, come. And she says, see a man. She says, come and see a man that told me all the things that I ever did. And she said, is this not the Christ? She says, who could this be other than Jesus Christ? You think about at the end of the book, at the end of the book in Revelation chapter 22, one final plea. It's as if we're getting ready to say amen and close the Bible, but God in his mercy, who is rich in mercy and deep in grace, he gives us one more opportunity in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Notice the Bible says this. It says, in the spirit and the bride say what? There it is again. Isn't God good? It's over and over. It blows my mind. It's like a circuit breaker. It says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Time out for a second. Do you know that you are a whosoever will? I'm a whosoever will. Every one of us are whosoever will. And the Bible says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Listen, if you don't have life today in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you can have it. Says, take it freely. You don't have to pay anything for it. By the way, you don't even have to become a member of Battlefield Baptist Church. I mean, it'd be a good decision, but you don't have to become a member. Right? The invitations of Scripture are so abundantly clear. But these invitations, by the way, they're not ours to make. These invitations from Scripture are ours to enjoy. Isn't that good? We're invited to come and see something that we have not done. By the way, you can't do anything to get to heaven. You hear me? You can't do anything. You can't. You're not good looking enough. You're a good looking group, but you're not good looking enough to get into heaven. Right? You can't pay enough. You can't serve enough. You can't do enough good works. You can't do. You could spend your life doing a bunch of things and think you're headed for heaven and then miss eternity. The only way we get to heaven is through Jesus. It's a very loving message. We're invited to come and see something we have not done. We're invited to hear something we have not spoken. We're invited to accept something that you and I could never give. You and I are invited to receive something we could not offer, and it's all been made possible through Jesus Christ. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes it abundantly clear who he is. And I'm going to rapid fire these things, but I want you to notice who Jesus says he is. Because guess what? My Bible says God's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Jesus is not a liar. And so here's what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 6. Notice Jesus says, I am the bread of life. But I want you to notice something. He says, I'm the bread of life. He that what? There's the message again. Come and see. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. In John chapter 8, in verse number 12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 10:9, Jesus says, I'm the door. Listen, you want to come in? You got to come through the door of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That phrase, shall go in and out, is really nice. It means there's liberty in Christ. There's freedom. Oh, he's a good shepherd. He says, I'm the door. You can come in. Two verses later in John chapter 10, in verse number 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11, remember, he's making his way into Bethany, and his good friend Lazarus, he has been told that he was sick at this point, but he makes his way into town. And the two sisters, Martha and Mary, first Martha comes to Jesus, and she says, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Where have you been? And Jesus says, oh, listen, he's going to rise again. And Martha's like, oh, she's confused. She says, oh, I know he'll rise again at the last. She said, but where have you been? And here's what Jesus said. He said, Martha, you need to understand something. He said, it ain't about then and there. It's about right now. He said, because I am the resurrection and the life. This is who Jesus said he was. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he goes on and he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I got news for you. One day, they're going to carry me. They're going to carry me somewhere. I don't know what they're going to do with me. You're just going to have to ask my wife. I don't know. She's going to put me somewhere. This body. But I got news for you. When I cease to exist in your realm, I won't have ceased to exist. I'll just be getting started. Listen. The Bible says, he that believeth in me shall never die. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the risen Savior of the world. I'm headed for heaven and I can't help it. And when I cease to exist here, I'll just be getting started there. Isn't that good? Hey, who wants to come and go with me? You say, I'm not sure. You're kind of crazy. That's okay. We'll have a good time. We're going to have a good time. Oh, listen, the message has always been come and see. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. But look back at verse 2 of our text, back in chapter 28, Matthew 28, because notice it says there's an earthquake. It says there's an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descends from heaven and comes and rolls back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Folks, that stone was not rolled away for Jesus. You hear me? The earthquake happened, and the angel came down. The Roman soldiers, they pretend as they're not pretending, they're as if they're dead. They don't know what to do. They're scared to death. And the angel says, come on and see. The stone was rolled. Jesus had already gone. He had already left the premises. That stone was rolled away for Mary and Martha. That stone was rolled away for Peter and John. That stone was rolled away for you and me who are a little hesitant to believe so that we would understand that Jesus is the risen Savior of the world. Oh, the tomb is empty. Come and see and go. Oh, listen, if you've never placed your faith and trust in the risen Savior of the world, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, says now is the accepted time. Behold, now, today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this place. Don't turn off the computer without Jesus. Jesus said this in John 14, 6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus was saying, if you're going to come to the Father, you got to come through me. I like what, I've shared this before, I like what the old theologian and pastor Francis Schaeffer, he used to say all the time. He said, Jesus is not the best answer. He's the only answer. That's good, isn't it? If you don't take anything else today, take that. Jesus is not the best answer. He's the only answer. And you say, why is that so important? I had the guys add another verse in here. Look with me at 1 John. It's so important today that you understand why is Easter important. You may be here and you're like, yeah, I've heard this story. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. The choir is singing. And the praise team is playing, and Travis is praying, and I get it, and on and on. But what's the big deal? Notice with me what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 9. This is some good stuff. If you don't know Jesus, and even if you do know Jesus, this is really good. We ought to pay attention. Here it says, If we receive the witness of men, you need to know that the witness of God is greater. That's what he's saying right there. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Verse number 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. What? We make God a liar if we believe not this witness? Watch what it says. It says we make him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave us his Son. Verse number 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Listen, if you want eternal life, here's where the Bible says you get it. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, listen. Please, I beg of you. Jesus loves you. Are you hearing me today, please? Just for a few minutes of time. I'm about ready to wrap this puppy up. About ready to go and have whatever, Resurrection Day lunch, whatever you're going to do. But do you hear me before you get to that? Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And the angel told those women, come and look for yourself. The reason the stone was rolled away is so that those women wouldn't walk away in disbelief. Said, you got to come and see it for yourself. I rolled the stone so that you'd be able to come in and see that Jesus is exactly who he said he would be. Oh, my friends, the invitation to come and see is an incredible thing. And in that moment, they realized, just like I'm praying you're realizing right now, they realized that Jesus is the risen Son of God, the Savior of the world. But the message of Easter didn't stop right there. If you're a believer here, the message goes on. Because notice in verse number 7, the next message is go. So we've got come and see, and now the messages go. In verse number 7, the angel continues by telling the women, go quickly. In other words, without delay. Don't call your brother. Don't call your sister. You don't have time to go down to the market. You don't have time to set things in order at your house. No time for laundry. No time for this. No time for that. It's the angel said, hey, you need to go quickly and tell his disciples. By the way, quickly means quickly in the Greek. I did a thorough study of it. It means to get moving. It doesn't mean to like slow walk it. Well, the angel said, go tell the disciples, I guess we'll pray about it. No, the angel said, you've got to go quickly. It's an imperative message that needs to get out. Notice it says, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. In Mark's gospel, Mark 16, 7, the Bible says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. No, I like Mark's gospel. Tell his disciples and Peter, the one who denied him three times. In other words, Jesus died and rose again for Peter too. You go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And so these women are coming to the tomb. They see and realize that Jesus is risen, and they're immediately sent away on their very first missions trip. You say, why do you love missions so much, Pastor Greg? Because it's right here in the Bible. It's the very first missions trip. Did you realize that? Right there on Easter Sunday morning, they're like, hey, you ain't got time to raise no support. You just got to go tell. And so they get on the move. By the way, I would suggest that these women felt like it was an urgent mission. It was urgent. And you say, where do you get that from? Look at verse number 8 of our text. I know that it's an urgent mission, and I know that they saw it because the Bible says they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear. In other words, the glorious messenger of God had taken a hold of them, and they realized what was going on. And it says, they left with fear and great joy, and that's the joy came from the incredible news that Jesus is risen. And notice it says, and they did run. Women, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all running with all your stuff to anoint a body with spices? By the way, I believe they probably dropped that junk. You're like, do you have any proof about that, brother? No, I don't, but I just believe that that bowl and those rags and whatever they were coming to anoint with, it got dropped real quick. When they saw that that tomb was empty, they said, we have no need to wash anybody anymore because he's not here. He's risen, right? And so they come quickly. Look at verse number 8. It says, they leave with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, notice, Jesus meets them. And he says, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. He reiterates the message of the angel. He says, hey, guess what? The angel already told you what to do. Go. He says, you got to go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there I shall see him. John's gospel, the Bible tells him, he says, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father. He says, but go to my brethren. Jesus confirming the mission. By the way, do you know that we as believers have a mission? Every one of us as believers have a mission. And what's interesting is if you notice right here in Matthew chapter 28, we read verses 1 through 10. But if you drop down, look at verse number 18. Because if you look down at verse number 18, we find the mission here. Jesus says, he says, all power. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Here it is again, go. The mission to go. He says, you've come and you've seen. You understand who I am. But now the mission is to go. He says, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and even to the end of the world. Amen. Listen, he says, go. In Mark's gospel, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's an amazing, amazing story, this resurrection story. We see the message of come. We see the message of see and the message of go. You know, as Jesus in John chapter 20, in verse number 21, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He was talking to his disciples. He said, it's time to go, guys. He says, you have seen. You understand that I am who I said I am. Look back at verse number 7 one more time. Because the angel says, go quickly without delay. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, notice this phrase, he goeth before you into Galilee. The angel tells them in that moment that Jesus is actually going to go before them. Listen, I would suggest to you that if Jesus is your Lord and if he is your Savior, he always goes before you. You know why? Because the Bible says that he is the good shepherd. The Bible says he's the great shepherd. And the Bible says he is the chief shepherd of our souls. He never lags behind. A lot of people say, well, the Lord's leading me to do this. The Lord's leading me to do this. I got news for you. If the Lord's leading you, he's going to go before you. He's going to make a way when there seems like there is no way. Oh, listen, it's consistent. Oh, friends. Jesus said all power was given to him in heaven and earth. So let's wrap this up. If you're not a believer here today, the invitation is for you to come and to see. To come and to see that the tomb is empty now. Why is it empty now? Because Jesus is risen. Amen? If you've never trusted him, the tomb is empty. God's word tells us in 1 John, in verse John 1, in verse number 7, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, that cleanses us from all sin. You say, man, you don't know my past. I don't know your past, but Jesus does. And I can tell you, the Bible says in John chapter 3, in verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5 and 6, the Bible says, there is one God and one mediator, in other words, one go-between, one reconciler between God and men. And the Bible says it is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom. Watch this. He gave himself as a ransom for how many? gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, the love of God may be, really, it may be unexplainable. It really is. It's difficult for us as humans to explain the love of God adequately. But when we understand, watch this, when we understand what Jesus did through being born of a virgin, living a sinless life, never committing one sin, offering himself up on the cross for the sins of the world, being buried into a borrowed tomb, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and rising again 3 days later, and then ascending to the Father with the promise that one day he's coming again. When we really take that in, I don't have to explain the love of God, because if you really grasp that, the love of God becomes undeniable. I don't have to explain it. It's undeniable. Oh, I pray that you see the love of Jesus today. You say, well, what do I have to do? I don't know. I believe what you're saying. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for me. And I've heard this story, but I've never heard, what do I do with all this? What's the message of Easter all about? I'm glad you asked. Because the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, and following, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All you need to do is believe. Listen, you understand you're headed for a separation from God for all eternity. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. And in the recognition of your own sinfulness and in your own need, the Bible says none of us are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know what the Bible says, and I didn't have to tell you that. Just like my wife doesn't always have to tell me I'm a sinner. I know that. But the Bible says this. Here it is. Key verse. Romans 10, verse number 13. You see it up there? You see it? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't leave here. What a tragedy. What a tragedy it'd be to leave this place or to turn that computer or that TV off today on Resurrection Sunday. What a shame, what a tragedy it would be knowing that tragedy has already been triumphed through Jesus Christ. To leave without Jesus. Can I encourage you in this moment? If you don't know Jesus, would you trust him as your Savior? By the way, if you are a believer here today, you say, I'm already a follower of Jesus Christ, then you already know that Peter reminds you that it's through the resurrection from the dead that you and I have what is known as a living hope. And if you're a believer today and you have the living hope of Jesus Christ reigning inside of your heart and in your mind and in your life, then you and I, we have a message too. And that message is that we have very little time left to go and share the living hope that we have with somebody else. You remember the message, the tomb is empty now. But the message is come, see. But if you're a believer, the message is go. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news lately. It's time to go. If you're not a believer, it's time to come and see. And then once you've come and you've seen and you've experienced and you've received, then it's time for you to go as well and share that good news with other people. Would you pray with me? Would you pray as we wrap this up? Would you just do me the honor of praying? You know, we're not to light a candle and hide it under a bush. Jesus talks about that. If you're a believer here today, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But if you're here in this moment and you say, Pastor, I've never called out upon Jesus. I've heard the gospel story. I've heard about Jesus, but I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Could I encourage you right now? Listen, it's not about some hocus pocus set of words, but I would encourage you right now in this moment, if you feel the Word of God and the Spirit of God have drawn you to the point where you need to call upon in the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of sin, I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you and to come into your life. And you say, well, how do I do that? Let's just break it down very simply. Let's just pray. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, would you just quietly pray to yourself? Not drawing attention to yourself, but quietly pray to God. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And nobody had to tell me that. Jesus, I understand that you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I believe that you are who you say you are. The Son of God, the Lord, the Savior of the world, King of kings and Lord of lords. I believe all of this. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you today, with everything that's inside of me, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to begin to change me from the inside out. Not as the world changes me, but you would change me from my heart out. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your life for mine, as the song says. Help me to live for you. Help me to be a testimony for you from this day forward. And I'll be careful to give you the praise for it.